Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Father, we pray that we will possess the passion of heaven, which is to live a crucified life and lay down our life that we may obtain that one irresistible goal, that is to know Him, that is to be conformed to His image, that is to know Him above all things, to be crucified with Christ, to live, and yet not I, but Christ in me. This is the life that I now live in the flesh. Father, I thank you that not only can we do these things, we will do these things. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you and magnify you. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Father. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Will you just give somebody a hug this evening? Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Share the goodness of God with them. Hallelujah. I'm just going to give you the opportunity right now to just take a couple of minutes before we get into the Word. And let's pray and receive the Wednesday night offering, the giving. So why don't you let Him speak to your heart? Perhaps you come in here tonight already listening, and that would have been already in your heart. But we're believing God for all the finances that we need. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. And we thank you. And we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one more time, stand, please. And if you have something to bring down, please bring it down. And let's just worship a little bit more. And if you missed anybody, you can catch them again now. But if not, just stand there and lift your hands and worship the Lord with us. Hallelujah. And if you have something to bring, please bring it down. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to show us more and more things to come. Show us, Lord, the revival and show us the end and show us the wisdom of how to bring about what you desire, Lord. We glorify you. Change our understanding according to yours, Lord. Teach us the word of God concerning the end time events. Lord, that we may be best prepared for what is coming, and that we may see it through your eyes, and that we may behold it, and that, Lord, that we may pray in accordance with your word. We give you all the praise and glory. Blessed, we thank you for all this offering. Lord, we thank you for everything that you're going to do in the days ahead through this giving, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Rex, how did it go out there? Rex, you want to share just a minute about it? We prayed for Rex on Rex and Marcia for their latest outing to Sturgis, South Dakota for is that where it was at? And I want to make sure. So you can share a little bit and tell us what happened, the glory of the Lord.
Well, it was the 75th anniversary for out there, so it was they said the 50th had probably 600,000 people out there, and there were, I don't know if the numbers were all in yet or not, but there was over like 900,000 people that showed up over there. This, Some people came before the week started, some came the week after, but there was a lot of people and a lot of good time of ministry. We just had meetings and really just had devotions in the mornings. They started Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of last week. And the rest of the time we were all kind of riding and just going in different groups and to hit different places. And we had really good time down in Sturgis. Sturgis is like a main drag where everybody gets together, and that's where all the vendors are and everything. And you know, there was some rough motorcycle gangs there, and we were able to go into some of their places and got invited in and got to, you know, even pray with some of them, and pretty much open doors like it has been in the past. But I think one of the greatest things that I saw this time was just the unity that's coming together, even with the Tribe of Judah Motorcycle Ministry, and people came from all over the United States. There was probably 200 represented there. Everybody came in probably by Monday night, Tuesday morning, from California to up, you know, New York, everywhere. Everybody, big turnout. And to me, it was really nice just to even get together with some of the ones that I've never really got to meet and stuff, and just to hear the hearts of other men. And it's good to see that so many people are really just tired of religion, you know, in the church. And I feel sorry for some of them, because some of them don't have, you know, what we have here, you know, but they're looking for it, you know. And just try to encourage whoever I could, if just to be praying in the Holy Ghost and just to spend that personal time with the Lord. And most of them are already doing it, because they're you know, it's good to know there's a lot of others that are pressing in, and they may not know the walk as we know it, but I'm praying in days ahead that there's going to be a real uniting coming forth out of all that. And I know one thing for sure is, you know, if we don't give up, we win. And you know, that's really what I see so many times in the ministry of where the Lord has us out there sometimes, and what we do with different clubs and stuff is the devil tries to beat us up so many times that nothing's happening and nothing's really growing and nothing's really changing. But it's not the way it is in the spirit at all. I mean, I see in the spirit that, you know, and we've heard it even from the pulpit many times, that when things seem like they're not happening, and when you seem to be tired of praying, that's when to pray more. And when it seems like nothing's happening, that's when things are happening. And in the emotional realm, I just even seen where things were going on, and you'd feel just a presence of evil, you know, in different places. And you know, the Lord says that we have all authority, and I noticed that we come in there with with the attitude of the Lord and with love, and not taking any offense or not allowing that atmosphere to control how we operate, even as a body, this body. The more that we understand and we have authority over all this stuff. And I just saw that, you know, just with His love and not letting those emotions and those things going around push us back or take any kind of an offense, the atmospheres would change. And as long as you stayed in there and fought with it, you know, not think, well, we need to go someplace else, but to stay in there until that thing gets broken. I've seen it over and over. You stay in there and you fight, you know, just stay in there, not even fight, but just not let them push you around the atmosphere. And I'm talking about the spirits that are behind a lot of things, that they have to go. And I watched them go time and time again. And then the people's faces would change and everything would change. Smiles start coming on people's faces instead of this, like they want to kill you, you know. But you have to stay in there and fight a little bit. You can't let that push you out the door. And that makes a big difference. And I even seen that today. I went to two different banks today and came up to the tellers, and they were just like, I came in there and just like, there's this atmosphere in a place where these tellers were just beside themselves, and I just talked nice to them, and kind of joked around with them, and before I left, they were both smiling and happy. And that's not the way they were when I came in there. Then I had to go to another bank, and the same thing, but even worse, was over in this bank. They were just like under duress, just I don't know what all it was, but it was a spirit. And I started talking to the one that was next to the one that was waiting on me, and just in a few minutes, they both started smiling. The manager, he was under duress too. It was an ugly atmosphere when I came in there. And just in those few moments were, and I didn't even realize this was happening till afterwards, that just in those few moments, both of those girls, their whole attitude changed. They had smiles on their face. And the manager came up to me on my way out and said, "Hey, have a good day." And he was smiling. So it's interesting, because sometimes you don't really notice that all that's going on when, you know, when we're just there. But I saw, and the Lord was saying, it's like you said to me that even today, you have you know, authority over the atmosphere. And didn't respond out of their response or their feelings towards me or whatever that was. I didn't respond to that. Just responded in love and in kindness, and it changed them. So, I mean, that's the way it is everywhere, not just in the biker world, but it's everywhere we go. I mean, we can change the atmosphere. And if I got anything out of this whole week here, and one of the things I got personally was that our words have all authority. So we need to make sure we're speaking the word and speaking the truth, and not get involved in any of the negativity stuff. So it was great. I'm going to have lots of pictures coming up. I don't have them yet together, but I'm waiting for some other people that gather their pictures up, and I'll bring them and share them with you and stuff. And also, I'm going to do a report for the church, because I haven't done this. I really need to give a report to the church, and the Lord told me to do this over the last 2 years of just the salvations that took place in the tribe of Judah locally in the area and the region that I'm in. And there's been a lot that happened, and I repented, because I felt that I wasn't a good steward of what he's given me, and I was supposed to be sharing that, because like Bronx says, and we know in the spirit that ministry is just as much part as this ministry. It's one ministry. And so I repent to you too, that I hadn't followed through with a lot of that, but I'm going to, because you need to know what's going on too. And it's going to happen.
Thank you very much. Father, we love you, we worship you, we give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And we hold so strong to your word. We live and move and have a being in Christ. And to every word that he has spoken, every word that the Holy Spirit has breathed, Lord, we hold to it. We thank you, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Would you say with me, I say that Immokalee and this region, is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed. Made whole. They grow out new limbs. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Well, you can turn with me for a little bit here to Psalms chapter 107. While you're doing that, I want to give a praise report that I just learned during the break. Sherry Easterly was telling me, what is your aunt's name again, Sherry? Naomi? Aunt Naomi. So she's the one that gave the testimony to you? Or, yeah. And what was the problem she was having again? It's like a scoliosis? Or? Okay. Stenosis. Okay. Thank you for that correction. And she had been in severe pain.
I've been in severe pain. I've gone to the emergency room like 4 or 5 times by ambulance because of her.
Wow. And she got prayed for not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. And she wanted to let us know that she has been pain-free. So praise God. Is that correct? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. From the bottom of our hearts for the miracle, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to continue on. I certainly don't want to try to add anything of myself to the sermon from Sunday, but that Pastor Jim ministered. How many enjoyed that, by the way? Wasn't that great? That was just fantastic. He ministered on three critical revelations, and that being the goodness of God, the love of God, and the faithfulness of God, and went into a number of different scriptures. Well, we're just going to continue on that same kind of thought process tonight. And in fact, we're going to go to one of the chapters that he used. He just used one particular verse out of that chapter, but we want to continue along just talking about the goodness of God and his faithfulness. And that's Psalms 107. Before we turn there, you're already there, but before we read what we're going to read, and that's going to be pretty much the whole chapter and commenting, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Hallelujah. This is talking about the Old Testament saints and people that were saints, part of the church or part of Israel following Moses, and not all of them walked in righteousness, and some of them did some really, really bad things. But just pulling out this one particular verse, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And that word worlds is eons, it's dispensation. And it's saying to us, the church, that God uses the types and shadows of the Old Testament and things that are happened to the Old Testament people and the saints, and even the ones that did not follow God, that should have followed God, he uses that as an example to teach us and admonish us in the New Testament. So given that understanding, we're going to look more at chapter 107 and talk about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And let's just begin by verse 1, and I think that's where Jim read Sunday and said some things on just the goodness of God concerning this particular verse. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Now, one of the things that he shared with us, as I recall, is that he talked about the goodness of God and what the goodness of God really was. And he went to the New Testament scripture, in which I don't have in front of me, where the rich man came to Jesus and asked him about what he needed to do. "Oh, good master," he said to him. And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God." And so the reason why that he said that was not because Jesus wasn't good, was for the truth that there's a goodness that only proceeds from God. And all of our goodness, we cannot even begin to equivocate. We cannot even begin to imagine how wonderful God is. And, you know, one of the things that Jim was saying to us is that the revelation of his goodness will change your life forever. And the more and more that you understand, you see, one of the things that the enemy wants to do for all of us is that if he can rewrite who God is, or if he can paint a portrait of God through circumstances, through emotions, through a lot of different things, that if he can, even though God may be your father and you may be born again, there is the extreme possibilities that the concepts or the way that you look at him and the way that you understand him can be tainted by experience. It can be tainted by your preconceived notions and ideas. But really, when it gets down to it, only the Word of God can describe to us who our Father is. Now, the Holy Spirit comes and he enforces that Word. But it's important that we stay in a place where we understand who he is. And if we can understand his goodness, then we can make the stand in this life, not only for revival, but for every personal thing that we're believing God for. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, Jesus actually said it, in vain they do worship me or worship the Father, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man, teaching as doctrine the commandments of man. In other words, there is a vanity that a lot of people have. In other words, it's vain worship. Even though their hearts are right, that when their supposition or the way that they conceive God, the way that they're looking at God, if they've been taught wrong, if they understand wrong, if they believe that God is behind murder, and you say, well, God's never behind murder. No, but if they believe that God would kill a child or kill one of their relatives to teach somebody a lesson, that's murder. But it can be explained so flowery behind a pulpit that sometimes people will just take that in and they don't understand, and they'll take wrong doctrine, and wrong doctrine and wrong understanding of who God is will cause people to have a vanity or a vainness of in their worship. In other words, how close can you get to a God even when you lift your hands? Now, the Holy Spirit's presence, when he comes, if you can enter into worship to where a strong presence comes, that presence has a convincing power in itself. In other words, it will begin to alleviate or pull fear out of you, because God is love. And the more the presence of the Holy Spirit can set on you and saturate you, he's actually, there is an actual indoctrination of his love just by presence. So fear starts to go. But in vain, he said, they worship God, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. In other words, man came up with it and said, this is doctrine. This is what you should look at God as. And so this is where a lot of people can't hardly enter into the presence of God, because when they lift their hands, not just in church, but in a private setting, in their living room or in their bedroom or in their prayer closet, wherever that's at, and then they begin to, I love you, Father, or I worship you, or these the right words I'm supposed to say. I've heard that's where what I'm supposed to say, simple words of adoration. But if their doctrine has imputed into it a virus, per se, if there's something inside of them that still believes that he can still do evil things to hurt them that's not scripted in the Word of God, their adoration of I love you is to someone that still can harm them, and they don't understand why. So that in itself, it's so important that we continue to look in the mirror of God's Word. Because as we do, it describes who he is. And there's no inhibitions. It's unabated. There's no barriers there, that when we understand who he is, that his goodness, you see how this carries over into our worship? I mean, it'll carry over into our worship. Our worship is not just I love you, and feeling presence. But there's a conception of who he is in our worship. If he's good, if he's really, really good, then, man, we can just lean into that. You know, we can just put down inhibitions and guards and, you know, is he going to start accusing me? If you don't understand the difference between the accuser of the brethren and who God is, and that's a tremendous conflict. That's a tremendous conflict, and you need to really settle that, because it can sometimes be a real thin, fine line. We're teaching on a lot of dying to the flesh, and it is true. And we're going to continue to keep up that as long as Jesus tarries and doesn't come back. We're going to continue to teach us how to mortify. In that process, there's a dying process. There is the Holy Spirit coming to us on a continual basis and growing us up and causing our spirit to have more dominion over the flesh. But he never accuses. He will convict, but he never accuses. The enemy comes with accusations. And he comes with a heaviness that will, he will, if you don't know God your Father by the word of God, disguise himself oftentimes as the voice of God. And there will be trouble in you relaxing and really going into the genuine, where real true mortification takes place, if you don't understand the difference and if you don't understand how God works. So he says here, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Jim, I liked what Jim said, and I never have crossed, you know, reference with him on it. It was kind of interesting that he said that how oftentimes you would hear that volley that would take place where the minister would stand up and say, "The Lord is good," and people would say, you know, all the time, "The Lord is good." And there really is nothing wrong with that at all. And Jim wasn't running that down at all. But he said there was something in his makeup that kind of cringed or irked him a little bit. And I always was the same way. I just never was big on that. And the reason why he said that is because so much of the body, not that it was wrong. In fact, the word in which we just read said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I mean, let them speak of his goodness and let him. But what he was saying was this: so much of the body of Christ doesn't really know his goodness. They don't know his goodness. So it's head confession. It's not heart confession. It's just not knowing how wonderful he really is and speaking things just because somebody, you know, solicited an emotional response. But as a result of everything that we've been hearing, everything that we know, that he is good, would you say this with me? I say the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Now turn to somebody that you are sitting next to, or somebody that's close to you, or somebody across the aisle. Turn to Sherry, because she doesn't have anybody, and say, "The Lord is good. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Hallelujah. Did we just say so? Hallelujah. I think one of the things that I want us to see here tonight in Psalms 107 is the very Psalms 107 really just confirms everything that we heard from the Holy Spirit this past weekend on the goodness of God, the love of God, and the faithfulness of God just throughout this entire chapter. And I encourage you to read it again later on this week, maybe tomorrow for your devotions, because it really ministered to me throughout the day as I was continuing to pray over it and meditate it. One of the things that I see here, one of the things we're going to see is a continual example of the resilience of the Lord, how good he is in ministering to his saints and ministering to the people that come in to the kingdom of God and ministering to his children. He's good to everybody. The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Now, that has been preached in a negative connotation before, like he, you know, almost like he rains brimstone on the. No, it's talking about rain was a good thing. It watered the crops. It produced fruit. You know, it gave people food to eat. And so your Father loves people in general. And this is amazing. He loves the people that are cursing him. All that church that we've been talking about that is backslidden a lot, he loves them like he does us. And we got to always keep that in front of us. We've always got to keep that as the apple of our eye. We've always got to see the loving kindness and the tender mercies of the Lord. But if we keep in context with what we just read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, where it says that all these things happened as an example, in sample, it says unto them, that we're looking this, and we're going to look at this in a spiritual sense of the word, and of course all the word is spiritual, but as if it were that the first part of it is describing someone coming into the kingdom or his church coming alive or the born-again experience. And then everything that happens that can happen as a result of a person's life or their walk throughout the rest of their walk. It says, again, I'll start at verse 1 and then read through several verses here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many of you know that you've been redeemed if you've been born again? Hallelujah. You've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he gathereth them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. See, we've all been gathered from different places, different backgrounds, different ethnic groups, different levels of sin. You know, it didn't matter if you were born. You know, I was born and raised in the church. And I cannot, you know, a lot of times I've heard, you know, it's been a roundabout kind of conversation. Well, I did this, I did this. And impresses, it's kind of impressive. And people listen to it and it can give a testimony. But okay, when it comes to me, okay, what about you? Well, let's see, born again at 11, filled at 12 or 13, and served God the rest of my life. Never did drugs, never drank, never smoked, you know, and always served God. Oh, man, what a boring testimony. But really, it's an elite testimony. It's the power of God. It's really what we're all after, to raise our kids. But nevertheless, we all come from different backgrounds. Well, Pastor, you cannot. I loved what, and I've preached it so many times before, and I was like, yeah, Jim. Well, you can't minister to those people unless you've been there and done that. Okay, come on, wait a minute. Jesus, when did he take a drag off of your joint? When did he shoot somebody? When did he molest somebody? When did he fornicate? None of those things. And he is the one that ministers. Don't tell me I got to walk in their shoes to know how to minister to them. The anointing in my life ministers to them. Hallelujah. The anointing in your life ministers to them. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, the Holy Spirit like that, because you guys don't like that. He gathers them out of lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. And of course, that's where we were at. We had no against testimony. I knew there was something out there. You know, it was so good. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted. And if that's not the description of who we are or who we were prior to Christ, Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said that that those that were hungry and thirsty, that he would fill, they would be filled with righteousness. God would fill them. The hunger and thirst that they had was to be relieved from a sinful nature. And that's what we were hunger, that's what our hunger was. That's what our thirst was. And so God brought them in. He says, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation. Well, that what a born-again experience. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Hallelujah. There it is, his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry souls with goodness. Now, then it says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, God is good. Listen, God doesn't directly, when you go into, even after you come into Christ, what it's describing here is that if you choose to walk out from him, if you contempt his word, even after you've heard his word, it's not him that is bringing a direct punishment. You're serving yourself. But the Lord's hand is not going to be on you while you go into rebellion. The Lord's hand is not going to be on you while you contempt his word and scorn his word and say, okay, you know, yes, I know the word says that, but that's not what I choose to follow. It says, therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Is it hard to go, if you know truth and go against it, is it hard to go against the truth if you're truly born again? Yes. There's a labor in that. But look at here. They cried, look at here. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Praise the Lord. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunders. Praise the Lord. Isn't he faithful? He's so faithful. You know, one of the things that I see here, and we've got several more verses to cover, is this, and I think this is vitally, vitally important, is understanding the goodness of God and the resilience of God in our life to bring us forth is, and Jim mentioned this too, he said there's three different things that are that you need to understand why trouble comes. One, it's just a satanic spiritual attack. It's Genesis 3. It's just a fallen world. Why are, you know, some babies born like they are? On and on. You could make all kind of examples. It's just Genesis chapter 3. It's just a fallen world. And number 3 is choices. Just choices you make. And that's absolutely true. All that is absolutely true. But one of the things, too, I understand by looking at everything in Psalms 107 is this. Is that the continuation of the goodness of God, even when, if the first part, if we can look at the first part as the conception of salvation and look at how that even after that, if that's an example to us, that a lot of times there's choices that are made and there's things that happen and God always has to, a lot of times has to keep bringing people back. I think one of the things that the enemy uses against individuals more than anything else is that they feel, now listen close to me, they feel this, that if they had something to do with what they're going through, that somehow that doesn't qualify them for the full endorsement of God's strength and his ability to take them all the way through just as if it had never happened. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter if it's sickness, finances, relationship situations. In fact, listen, there almost anything, even if it's spiritual, you know, choices, we understand the category of choices, that you made a bad choice. But even stuff with the spiritual, the thing that he's usually picking on us is our weaknesses. So it's almost, in a certain sense, it's almost impossible that we or you or I didn't have something to do with the present tense trial that we're walking through. So if it's sickness in our body, it's like, you know, we'd go to make our stand. We go to make, you know, our stand in the Word. And here's the difference between God and the accuser. If you don't understand that this part has to be broken off, I didn't eat right for years, or I didn't take care of myself. Do you know that is not in the equation with God in him taking you out of that thing and going forward? The goodness of God does not stand there and say, you didn't do right. Listen, we all don't do right. That's part of our trial. That's a big part of our trial. Dismiss that. Recognize. Okay, you recognize it. Okay, I didn't do completely right. But who does? But once that's gone, once that's dismissed, and once that's under the blood, then you go forward. People go through agonizing pain. Listen, yes, yes, there's consequences in this life. There's relationship problems, or there's a choice that'll be made today that may have a residual effect for 30 years down the road. Here's where you have to differentiate. Yes, in the natural, it's just like this. If a person was to murder someone, and then the next day truly, truly get born again and ask God to forgive them, they're going to heaven just like you and I are. Now the law will arrest them and put them in prison for the rest of their life and maybe execute them. But that doesn't change the fact that God truly becomes their Father. Truly becomes their Father. And that He will do everything He possibly can to bring life and the presence of the Holy Spirit and every benefit in the Spirit that He possibly can throughout their incarceration. People suffer for years because they say, I made a wrong choice today. And somehow, when I'm trying to imagine the goodness of God, something keeps coming up like, yeah, He could be better to me if I hadn't made that choice. That is not the right way of thinking. That's not the right way of thinking. What set that into effect all was choices, and yes, the enemy and situations and people and relationship, you may not be able to do anything about that. That's in the natural. But as far as God getting involved in your life and bringing His goodness, it's all over with God. He'll get behind you and bless your life if you truly have gotten under the blood and said, that was who I was, or that was a bad choice. It never has to be brought up again. It really doesn't. And the goodness of God is to take us out of a mindset like, you know, the enemy will come. And don't think that He'll just come and you settle it one time. You have to settle it quite often sometimes. Quite often. You may have to settle it different moments throughout your life and going forward into revival and going forward into salvation for your family and going forward. Well, you know, you made some bad choices yourself. And you're going through this physical thing, or you're going through this relationship thing, or you're going through this financial thing because, yes, yes. But that does not stop the goodness of God. It does not stop that argument. If you get over in that argument with the devil, what he's going to do is he's going to neutralize you. He's going to begin to neutralize, you know, because I'll hear a lot of people, you know, a lot of Christians say, yeah, but they kind of brought it on themselves. Listen, wait a minute. If that person is a spiritual person, don't you think they've already repented for that? And we need to shut our mouth. We really do. We need to stop saying, well, they kind of brought that on themselves. Yes, they did, but that's all over. Now they're going forward with God. Now here's two ways to look at it. They're going forward with God as though it never happened. And yet there may be natural circumstances that cannot be stopped. It's like once that gets, but as far as God is concerned, He looks at them as if it never happened. And so His goodness is not abated because there was a one time or however many times mistake. So isn't that good? I mean, that is something, that's the difference between conviction and the accuser. Because I guarantee you, set forth to see mountains removed in your life, and you make confessions according to the Word of God, the enemy is going to start talking about the past. He's going to start talking about the past. And if you rebuke him today and stand on the Word of God, wonderful. But he may come back tomorrow. And he may come back six times tomorrow or seven times tomorrow. But if it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. God doesn't talk about it. We don't need to talk about it. Praise the name of the Lord. What verse were we at? Which one? 15? Okay. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness, good word, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass, and He cut the bars of iron and sunder. Hey, here's God doing a jailbreak right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God will slip some, hack saw to you in the cake. You know, I'm sawing away here. He breaks these things. Praise the Lord. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Now, when he says fools, that word fool is also the word silly. It's to be not thinking correctly. And when he talks about here, when he says their soul abhors, this may not mean that they just hate, but it means they abstain from it. They don't appreciate it. All manner of meat. That word is the word food. They draw near unto the gates. Why is that important? Because what he tells you in verse 20, just two verses later, is what that food is. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How many of you know his word is food to us? It's meat to us. And if we as children of God do not desire his word, it's gonna have a perpetual effect on us. But the next part of this is how resilient God is towards us, how he embraces us when we repent. The people through the years, now I'll preface this because it deserves some preface. Not always, but I would say much of the time, the people that have needed the most counsel, and I don't have a problem with talking to someone. I don't do a lot of counseling. I pray that the counseling that most people will get is right here as I'm speaking the Word of God, as Homer speaking the Word of God. The people that have ever required most of my time, like I need to talk this out or talk this through or whatever, not in all cases, but in many, many cases, are people that don't come here, that are part of the church, but don't come on a regular basis to get meat and are getting fed on a continual basis. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know if that made sense. I don't know if I said it in a way that makes sense. In other words, just to put it real nice, I would teach, and not see people, and then they would come and want to talk, and they want counseling. And I'm like, you know what? This has all been being covered for weeks and for months. And what they're really saying is, which they don't really know is, I'm above everybody else. I can skip class, and you're going to tutor me or you're going to talk to me when I feel like it or when my emotions are in line. Or when I get ready to, then I'll check in and you'll give me a special ed class for this. And it's like, you know what? You're abhorring all manner of meats. It's true. And the other thing too is, and this is really good too, this is just a little, it says all manner of food. Eat your vegetables. What? Eat your protein, eat your vegetables, eat your carbohydrates, like mama used to say, son. And I like just about everything. Just about anything. Eat it all. That's important. In learning who the goodness of God is and the whole dynamics of who God is, I would encourage you. Now, you've heard me talk about, you've heard Homer talk about, and we teach this as truth, and I know it is. There are pastures in which the Lord will put you in for seasons, but he'll also diversify. There are certain books that I just am partial to, but read the entire, don't get hooked into one book and live your whole life from that book. Why? Because that book is absolute truth, but it's not all the truth. Did you hear me? Any one book of all the 66 books is absolute truth, but it's not all the truth. In other words, you're going to need the complement of other books to appreciate what that book is saying, and that book to appreciate what the other 59 books are saying. Eat all of your vegetables. Eat all of your fruits. Eat all of everything that he puts on your plate. Because otherwise you're going to get, even in something good, you can get lopsided. Did you know that? And I've done that before. You can eat so much. If you eat too much protein in the natural, if you forsake protein and just go to the vegetables. I don't like those diets that forsake protein. Give me some meat. Give me some steak. But I can't just eat steak. I've got to eat the vegetables. And he gives you, God will give you dessert too. Hallelujah. Praise God. But eat everything that's on your plate. I would encourage you, one of the things I would encourage you, it's not wrong to find get your pastures. The pastures are, ask the Holy Spirit, where do you want me at right now? For the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. And you're going to get a lot of stuff out of there just reading it through over and over and over again. Most of the New Testament books I've probably read maybe hundreds of times at this point. But I do want to, and I've studied Old Testament. I've studied it in school, and I've read through some of those. But it's not wrong to get on some of those plans. They've got plans. And you can go to, you can Google any of them, that you can read through the entire Bible for 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes, just 20 minutes every day, you can read through the entire Bible in a year. If you, double that, it'll be half a year. If you, quadruple, whatever. But it is good to have the whole program of all your meats and vegetables and everything. Did you know that the 39 books of the Old Testament are just as inspired by God as the 27 of the New? They really are. So God has given me more sense recently of eat a bunch of stuff. Get some mainline stuff, but eat a bunch of stuff. Because he wants us to see his goodness in a lot of different ways. Wow. Okay. Then they cried unto the Lord. When they didn't want his word, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of all their distresses. Isn't he good? Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. This is like, I was telling Julio the other day, I was on a trip one time where down in the Keys where I was on this charter boat, and I remember we'd go up on a crest. I got the sickest I'd ever been in my life. I literally wanted to die. I threw up so many times that I thought there was nothing left in me, and I usually don't get sick on the water, but we were out about 40 miles, and the waves got so high is that when you'd go down in the bottom, you could not see land. You could not see the horizon. You were down in the swell. And when we come up, you'd crest a wave, and then you could see for miles, and then we'd go back down. And that boat was like Gilligan's boat. It was like, and I was like, oh, my God, just take me back to shore. I'll buy the boat. I promise I'll finance this. If you'll, I'll buy this boat. I probably would have been lying, but, at least I got, but... Here's going up and down. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Have you ever come to your wit's end? Well, it sounds like God was doing this, but God's not doing that. It's because they themselves perpetuated. They started on something that was not Him. And they got out of whack. They got out of line. And the storms of life start coming. And you at times can lose your wit, which is direction. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Hallelujah! Can you see this throughout 107? It's like, mess up, yeah, but I'll bring you right back. Fall down, yeah, but I'll bring you right back. Not know what to do, but yeah, I'll bring you right back. Not eat all your vegetables and fruits and whatever, yeah, but I'll bring you all back. Get a little lopsided, yeah, but I'll bring you all back. If your heart stays contrite before the Lord, if your heart stays repentful before the Lord, if your heart stays in a position like, okay, God, I've messed up, help me. He maketh a storm to calm so that the waves there are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Hallelujah. How many like a quiet place? So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water spouts or water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. So it's talking about how there comes a desolation as a result of walking in wickedness. And then right again, He turneth, He does the exact, you know, what happened as a result of rebellion. He just reverses the process. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and the dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, and they that they may prepare a city for a habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are demised. Demise and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Is God good? Yes, He is. And the Word of God says in Romans 8, we'll turn there and we'll close. May we love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is a familiar verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, God's for me. Hallelujah. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's saying, you think God's going to give you salvation and then stand there and continually accuse you? Listen, there's a big difference between conviction and accusation. A big difference. And conviction is the wooing and the teaching and the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and you saying, yes, Lord, forgive me, wash me, I know. But that place where the enemy comes and condemns, that's not Christ. That's not God. Hallelujah. Turn into Him. and he turns into us. He restores us with his loving kindness and tender mercies. Praise God. Be quick. Just be quick to repent. Just be quick to say, okay, Lord, it's your goodness. I haven't had a, thank God, I haven't had a ticket, a speeding ticket, probably in 15, 20 years. I don't know. God, I'm not going to get one tomorrow either. But I know that I've, this is kind of how I've been in the past. If I was, and I saw him, and I looked down, and he turned around, just pull over. Just pull over. Don't make that man chase you. Because he's mad when he catches you. If you do something, or you're not where you need to be, or whatever, just pull over. Stop. I'm in God. I'm talking about. Just pull over. My disposition was like, okay, man, I'm caught. Just pull over. Don't make the man catch me. Start pulling out, you know, driver's license, registration, stuff. You know why I pulled you over? Yes, sir. I was speeding. Don't act stupid either. God starts dealing with your heart. I don't know what you're talking about, God. I do know what you're talking about. You just pulled me over, okay? But you know what? His loving kindness and his tender mercies are right there to pick you up and take you forward. Hallelujah. Amen to God. Praise God. Let's all stand together. His mercy endureth forever. Father, we love you. Your goodness and kindness is immeasurable. We love you to the ends of this earth. We give you all the praise and glory. We bless them. We bless your people. We thank you for this night and your power of your word and the power of your Holy Ghost. We commit ourselves unto you, Father, and to your goodness in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Friday night.